بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. عن ابي هريره رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لقد رايت رجلا يتقلب في الجنه في شجره قطعها من ظهر الطريق كانت تؤذي المسلمين. رواه مسلم. وفي روايه: مر رجل بغصن شجره على ظهر طريق فقال: والله لأنحين هذا عن المسلمين لا يؤذيهم فأدخل الجنة. وفي رواية: لهما بينهما رجل يمشي بطريق وجد غصن شوك على الطريق فأخره فشكر الله له فغفر له. Continuing with the chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned باب كثرة ترك الخير. The chapter which deals with the various means or opportunities we have in order to do good deeds. One message would have come across quite clearly from the various ahadith which we have read in this chapter is that the means of earning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, acquiring reward, are not limited to what we consider to be acts of ibadat. Reading Quran, making zikr of Allah ta'ala, reading nawafil, etc. These are definitely means of acquiring the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our worship of Allah ta'ala should not be confined and restricted to only these things. You see, many of these ahadith, majority of the actions which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, like we've seen in the one prior to this, that a person had mercy on a dog, gave the dog water to drink, and Allah ta'ala made the maghfirat of that person. Likewise, a prostitute from the time of Bani Israel, an immoral woman, had mercy on an animal and Allah Ta'ala made her maghfirat. Like that, many ahadith, removing some source of difficulty from the road, etc. Basically, the principle and the message which we have mentioned over and over again is that one is we are the ummatis of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One is we are the servants of Allah Ta'ala, we have to worship Allah Ta'ala. But with that, we are the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and being a Muslim, particularly in our instance, wherein we are a minority in a non-Muslim environment, we have to understand our conduct to a very large extent represents that we are ambassadors of Islam. People are forming opinions or ideas of what a Muslim constitutes and what he represents by our actions. Particularly if we are dressed with kurta or we are dressed with sunnat libas, we are coming into contact with people all the time, maybe even a beggar on the street. Somebody asks for assistance, somebody needs help. The way this Muslim conducts himself, how he speaks, what he does when faced with such a situation, somebody is in need, how he reacts. The person is not going to remember after that Muhammad, Yusuf or Imran. What the person is going to remember is this kurta that he saw, or this image that was there in front of him, or what he considers to be Islam. How that person reacted, what he did, is contributing towards this person's idea of what Islam stands for. And this is something that is very, very important. It is a burden of responsibility upon us. If you see this hadith which you have read now, we will translate it. What emphasis Islam places on generally this Muslim being a source of benefit and khair and good to all those he comes into contact with. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar, what does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He says, I saw a person enjoying the pleasures of Jannah. That is, in this world, Allah Ta'ala showed me someone, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَتَقَلَّبُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I saw a person enjoying the pleasures of Jannah in this world, but Allah gave him this Jannah, and not just gave him Jannah, showed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world, so and so is enjoying the pleasures of Jannah. What did he do? What did he do to get him this Jannah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this person, there was a tree that was an obstacle in the way, in the thoroughfare, in the open road, there was a tree. Sometimes you see a branch lying in the middle of the road. This tree was blocking the way of the people. So this person removed it out of the way, removed the obstacle from the path. We heard that hadith when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Iman is divided into more than 70 parts. Highest part is La ilaha illallah, And the lowest part is to remove some obstacle that is in the way. So he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this person removed the tree from the road, and on that Allah Ta'ala made the decision of his Jannat. And not just gave him Jannat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I saw this person enjoying himself in Jannah. In another riwayat it is mentioned that a person passed by the branch of a tree which was in the middle of the road. So he said, by the oath of Allah, I will remove this because this is disturbing the Muslims. It's a source of difficulty to them. So he removed it from the road. فَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ Allah Ta'ala made the decision of the Jannat of this person. Another narration it is mentioned, this is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, that a person was walking one day and he came across a thorny branch that was in the middle of the road. He removed this. Allah Ta'ala appreciated the action of this person, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made his maghfirat. The point, my respected brothers, is that Islam advocates cleanliness and orderliness in every aspect of life, particularly when it comes to public amenities like parks or gardens or communal facilities. A Muslim should be considerate. A Muslim should contribute to the general well-being. A lot of times we observe, brothers, we think nothing of littering. We think nothing while we're driving, we got a can in the hand, think nothing of throwing it. People are observing this. And generally we find, even in our speech and our conduct, many times we'll hear, we don't attach importance to things like this. Many of us, this concept, this idea of being a litter bug, throwing our dirt, throwing our refuse on the road, etc. The general meaning of these ahadith is what? That we are supposed to be someone who is upright. We are supposed to contribute to the well-being. We are supposed to be someone that generally is an asset to society. So especially, as I mentioned, in this context where we are living, where we are a minority, and we are contributing to a very large extent to the impression that people are formulating about Islam and what Muslims represent, we have to be conscious of these things. Don't throw our litter in public. If we see something, a source of difficulty to others, remove it from the road, etc. One Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala nuqal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man tawadda fa ahsana al-wudu thumma ata al-jum'a fa-istama'a wa ansata ghufira lahu ma baynahu wa bayna al-jum'a وزيادة ثلاثة أيام ومن مس الحصى فقد لغى رواه مسلم. The next hadith, obviously time is limited, we won't go into the full detail of it, we'll start the discussion of it. It's a hadith which many of us would have heard many times. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that person who makes wudu, and then as we find in many ahadiths when wudu is spoken about, we find this addition that is mentioned, ahsan al-wudu, asbagh al-wudu, etc., that he doesn't just make wudu, he makes a beautiful wudu. In some ahadith we find this expression, isbagh al-wudu. Ulama explained that to make the wudu in such a way that all the sunnat, all the nawafil, all the adab, all the etiquette of that wudu is carried out. Example, one very great virtue, making wudu facing Qibla. In some of our masajid, we find cognizance has been taken of that. A lot of times we walk into the wudu khana, some seats are facing the Qibla, some are not facing the Qibla. And we find that very often the seat that is facing the Qibla is empty, yet we'll still use something else. In our homes, particularly those of us who are doing some sort of renovation, or we are now currently constructing our homes, etc., when doing that, we should take cognizance of this to make sure, for example, istinja facilities, the back and the front is not facing Qibla. Likewise, the place where we're going to make wudu on a daily basis. Imagine, daily, every day we are living in that house. Every day we are making wudu, how many times? Now, if you take the trouble of making sure that our wudu facility at least is facing Qibla, we are depriving ourselves of great merit, great reward in practicing on this one sunnah of Rasulullah. Likewise, the sunnah of miswak. As I mentioned, many ahadiths, when Rasulullah ﷺ speaks about making wudu, it's not just make wudu, ahsan al-wudu, asbagh al-wudu, make a good wudu. We are making wudu over and over again. How many times? Now, by not reading the dua before wudu, by not carrying out all these various sunnat, adab and etiquette, by not making miswak, by not making qibla, We are depriving ourselves of these opportunities of earning this extra and special reward. It's mentioned in one hadith, how many times that wudu is multiplied, the reward of it, just by making miswak before that wudu. So inshallah, we should try and make amal.